I'm going to look at a passage in the Word of God found in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. El libro de Números 35, vamos a estar leyendo 13 y 15. Numbers chapter 35. And we'll read verse 13. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Drop down to verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. May the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his word today. At one point in time, there was a dignitary that visited the United States. I don't remember exactly the details of where and how and that sort of thing, but not of little relevance at the moment. And what they wanted to do was to have a show of paratroopers in the sky and do a demonstration of them dropping out of the airplanes and all of this for this visiting dignitary. And the fact that they wanted to fill up the whole sky required the fact that they had to do a lot of work in folding parachutes, and a lot of people spent overtime folding those parachutes. And every time a parachute was folded, the person who folded it was required to put their name inside of a little pocket inside of the parachute, saying that they're the ones who folded the parachute. As you can imagine, what happened during the show, one of the parachutes failed to deploy, and a man fell out of the sky to his own death. They ran close to find out what had happened, and they opened up the parachute, and they pulled out the name of a person who had folded the parachute. And that person happened to be present when they read his name. They say that that man, through the whole night, wailed as he thought, "I had taken somebody else's life by accident. A careless move, perhaps exhaustion, or something like this," but he felt guilty. He had taken somebody's life by accident. And it was very difficult to comfort that person in how he was feeling. How would you feel if that was you and your responsibility? But you go back into Bible times and you'll notice that the Lord God had told the children of Israel, look, you're going to have these cities of refuge. Because we're not dealing with parachutes back in this time, but we're dealing with sometimes people accidentally would take the life of another person. And whether they're working with a tool or something like that and it comes apart, when you're swinging a hammer or such, or even an axe, let's say the axe handle disattached from the axe head and it was to fly through the water fly through the air and hit somebody in the head and they were to die, or something like that was to happen, you by accident took the life of somebody else. How would you feel that you took their life? It'd be heart sinking. But here's the next point. In the middle of all of your grief, you understand that there's an avenger of blood as an element here. Because when you took somebody else's life, it was a responsibility of that victim, the family of that victim, to take yours. So whether it be an older brother or a father or something like that, it became their lifelong duty and quest to look for you and to kill you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, they'd go after you. And it didn't matter if it took 40 years, it didn't matter if it took 50 years, they would make it their quest in life to find you and execute you so that justice would be paid. Now God comes in with a plan. And he says, listen, what you're going to do is you're going to build six cities of refuge. We're going to call them cities of refuge. There's going to be three of them on the east side of Jordan. There's going to be three of them on the west side of Jordan. And they're going to be well marked so you know where they are. And if a man was to take the life of another man accidentally, he could flee to the city of refuge. And once in the borders of the city of refuge, There's nothing that the Avenger of Blood could do. He cannot take his life. All of the laws of requiring a hand for a hand, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, have now been taken away because he's inside the borders of the City of Refuge. And I want you to take a look at the City of Refuge today when it comes to the gospel message and how this was set up for them to understand the severity of what happened, but also for us to understand today how it links up with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Because the first point that I want you to consider is that the City of Refuge was a place that was only for the person who accidentally took somebody else's life. If they had done it on purpose, the City of Refuge would do them absolutely no good. If somebody killed somebody else on purpose and they fled to the City of Refuge, the Avenger of Blood is coming right behind them. As soon as he crosses over that line, the Avenger of Blood has to step back. He can do nothing. But then there's a trial, and if the person is found guilty, it's a responsibility of the Avenger of Blood to take that person's life, regardless if they made it in the City of Refuge. See, the City of Refuge was only for the person who accidentally killed somebody else. It wasn't something that was done on purpose. But you know, when we come to the gospel message and we look at ourselves, we've offended God. And you know, mankind offending God was not something that was an accident. It was a choice. It was a conscious choice. We didn't fall into sin accidentally. It was a conscious choice for us to step into sin. And mankind, even to this day, makes conscious choices to continue on in sin. There's people who make conscious choices to reject Christ as their Savior in gospel meetings. There's people who make conscious choices when they come across Bible verses or even the working of the Holy Spirit of God in their hearts and their minds. They make conscious choices to put God on the shelf, as it were, because there's friends and activities and entertainments and work and career and whatever else that can fill in that place. We make conscious choices. So we cannot say that we're bystanders when it comes to this. Mankind has consciously put God aside. And here's where the big difference is. Even though man has deliberately put God aside, God has still given us a city of refuge in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be saved. He's our refuge. We can still go to him. And when we go to him, if we were to stand on trial and say, have we consciously pushed Christ aside? I could tell you I'm guilty right here. I've done it so many times myself before I was saved. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for those people who still consciously put God aside. See, the city of refuge here was only for the person who had killed someone unawares. But the gospel is for the whosoever will, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Would you take a look at the Avenger of Blood? He was the next of kin. And he would come running after that person who had taken somebody else's life or his family's life, somebody in his family. What's coming after you if you're not saved today? It's a wrath of God against your sin. It's the law of God and the justice of God that needs to be met that's coming after you, as it were, the Avenger of Blood that's pursuing you every single day. And you can't outrun God. Jonah tried to. And he couldn't. God had told him, you know, you go down to Nineveh, and Jonah wants to try to outrun God. You know the story as well as I do. You can't outrun God. You can't outrun God. You say, well, why is God coming after me for my sin? Why is he doing that? I thought he was a God of love. God is a God of love, but God is a God of justice too. We have to understand that God is a God of justice. And it would be against his character not to love you because he's a God of love. But it would equally be against his character not to execute judgment because he's a God of justice. So he not only loves you, though, he hates your sin. And he has to do something with that sin because he is a God of justice. And if he doesn't do something with your sin, he would be denying his own character. So he can't do that. So what is he going to do? He can't just overlook it. The justice against your sin was met at Calvary in the refuge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that it was paid. As it were, you go out and you get a ticket and you have to pay a lot of money for doing something that was wrong, but somebody else comes alongside and pays for your ticket The judge doesn't overlook your ticket. The judge doesn't just void your ticket. So long as the ticket is paid for, you are set free. And it's the same thing with God. We have a bill against God. God can't just overlook it. It needs to be paid in full. It requires the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, not only is this the price of your sin, I'm willing to pay it and pay it in full in my Son. So the avenger of blood that's up against you today, if you're not saved and it tracks you down every single day of your life, is the judgment and the justice of God. And it's pursuing you. It's pursuing you. For a person who is not saved, the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 36 tells us that the wrath of God abideth on him. And you can't escape that. You can't escape that. As it were, it's coming to claim what is justly right, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I want you to take a look at the fact that there were six cities of refuge. We took a look at that here in our verse, in verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge. There's six cities. That doesn't mean that there's six different ways of salvation. That doesn't mean there's six different saviors. What it really does mean is the fact that it was available. Because from what I understand, the furthest distance that anybody in that area had to get to a city of refuge, if they were to do it by foot, would be half a day. To get to the city of refuge. That would be the furthest distance. If there was only one city of refuge, it would take a lot longer to get to the city of refuge to be free. But the idea of the fact that there's three on this side of Jordan and three on this side of Jordan is the availability to make it available for that person who needs the refuge. And it's the same thing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he's more available to you than a city of refuge would have been to them. Has to do with the availability. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he looks and he watches the justice and the judgment of God above you, abiding on you, like John chapter 3, 36 tells us? The Lord, out of love, anxiously waits along your side, saying, I'm your city of refuge. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. What would it have been for a person to be working away in one of those fields? And their tool to fly out of their hand and to kill a coworker. The heart-sinking feeling of what had just taken place, causing them to get up out of that field as fast as they can, and they dart across the field, and they get out of that property as they go quickly toward the city of refuge. But as they're going out of the field, they notice that, hey, there's the older brother of that man I just killed coming into the field, and he's going to notice that man there is killed. He's on the floor. My brother has died. That avenger of blood, he starts turning around on his heels and he starts running after you. Are you going to stop at every distraction that is along your way? Are you going to say, oh, look, the flowers are beautiful today? You're not going to do that. Somebody over here on the side could be trying to hand you $1 million cash, and you're still going to run toward the city of refuge, and you're going to put everything else aside, realizing that the most important thing in life is to get to the city of refuge. Regardless of what anybody offers you, you're not going to slow down. And you know that the one that's pursuing you, he might pick up a horse and start pursuing you on a horse. And you might have to go through a city where the father-in-law lives. Or the mother-in-law lives. You're going to find that there's no distractions because that's what you... Can I just ask you today? Not only is salvation something that's so readily accessible to you, it's like right in front of you. But have you ever seen salvation as something that far supersedes any other thing this world could offer? And you so focus yourself on wanting to acquire God's salvation that even the most glittery thing this world could ever give pales away into insignificance. I want Christ. I need Christ. And there's not a distraction that will stop me. You know, Satan's really good at distracting people. He's really good at distracting people. And keeping them distracted so that they don't pay attention to the true condition that they're in. But friend, in the meeting today, have you ever felt the weight of your sin? Have you ever felt the understanding that, you know what, before God, I'm not right, and I want freedom from sin. I don't want just freedom from hell. You know, God's salvation is not just freedom from hell. Freedom from hell is a benefit of God's salvation. Yeah, it comes in the package, but it's not the purpose of salvation. The purpose of salvation is to save his people from their sins. You see, when your sins are forgiven, part of the benefit that comes with that package is you don't go to hell. Part of the benefit that comes with that package is you go to heaven. Part of the benefit that comes from that package is you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal level on a daily basis. There's a lot of benefits that come from the fact that your sin has been taken away, but the core of the gospel is your sin and the weight of your sin being removed. That's where the gospel is. And there's a lot of people who don't want hell, but they don't want to let go of their sin. Oh, I want to be free from hell. I want to be free from the consequence of sin, but I want to hang on to my sin. That's not salvation. Salvation is when an individual sees that it's my sin that's taking me to hell. And I begin to see the reality of the fact that sin is so two-faced. Sin presents, as it were, a cheese to a mouse, but it's not going to present the trap that's behind it. When a sinner actually realizes, listen, my sin, and I don't want my sin to dominate my life, and I don't want it to decide my destiny in eternity, and a person says, listen, I don't want my sin anymore, I want to be free from my sin, that's when they come to Christ and realize that salvation that God offers you is freedom from sin. It doesn't mean that you're not going to sin anymore. We're going to still sin. We're still going to have faults and failures and difficulties. But once a person is saved from sin, sin no longer is the king of their life. It's no longer the king of their life. That's why a saved person who gets themselves into sin start doubting if they're saved. Why? Because all of a sudden it appears that sin is coming in and becoming the ruler of their life once again, and they wonder, am I really free from sin? Can I ask you today, do you want God's salvation, which is freedom from sin? Does the weight of your sin weigh heavy on your heart and to the point where you say, I don't want it anymore? Would you see the Lord Jesus Christ as a city of refuge? Would you see the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who says, I'm standing next to you and I want to free you from your sin? As it were, as you're running down that road, Christ is right there saying, come unto me. Come unto me. I want to save you from your sin. Whether you're interested or not about getting saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in saving you. And he showed that interest at Calvary when he died for your sin. There was 6 cities of refuge. There was the Avenger of Blood. There was the purpose of the city that was established there. But I want you to notice that this was a safety that was divinely appointed. A safety that was divinely appointed. What do I mean by that? As a person who was guilty, who took the other person's life, is running toward the city of refuge, and they get to the border of the city of refuge, what's there to find? What do they find? They cross over the border. Is there a military guard that is all standing there, you know, with all of the soldiers, and they're at attention, and they're saying, you can't pass here any longer? Is there that? No. All it is a border. There's no military there. There's nobody there to tell the Avenger of Blood, don't cross his line. You can't touch him anymore. None of that. You say, whoa, that doesn't sound very safe. What if the Avenger of Blood is really angry and he crosses over the line? Can I tell you that the security of the guilty party is surety in what Christ or what God had told them? It was a divine surety. They didn't need a military. The person who was pursuing the guilty party to take their life understood as soon as he crosses that line, if I do anything, I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to God. A divine security. Do you know, my salvation is not something that is mine and gives me assurance because of some sort of military power that backs it up. I have assurance in Christ because of a security that is divinely sealed. It's divinely sealed. And no man can pluck me out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ while the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the hand of God his Father, and I'm inside. I'm secure and safe because of divine appointment. But I want you to notice something else about this city of refuge. The roads were to be maintained. The roads were to be maintained. And so when a person was running across and they knew the road to get to the city of refuge, if they got to an area that there was a valley, let's say, and there was a bridge that needed to go across, that bridge had to make sure that it was maintained, that it was always ready and available and waiting for the person who needs it. They can't approach the bridge and then it's fallen away because of lack of maintenance. And then they have to go down the valley one side and up the valley the other side. It wasn't like that. It had to be maintained. It had to be maintained. That road. If they were to come to a Y in the road, and they're which direction is the city of refuge? Which way should I go? It was to be well marked. There was to be a sign there with an arrow, and it was to say refuge, and they were to follow the way. It was to be well marked. It was to be maintained. Can I tell you that the way to salvation is clear, it's well marked, and it's maintained? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. One way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. And there's no other way. You can't go any other way. The signs have been marked. The word of God is clear. He's the one. And trusting in him as your personal savior is the only way to be saved. Can I ask you today, do you have the weight of sin upon you today? Do you feel the gravity of your sin? Because if you do, it feels ugly, doesn't it? Just turn your eyes toward the Lord Jesus Christ and let him, as it were, through the eye of faith, stare you in the eyes and say, I finished it. I paid for it. It's done. Do you believe me? That's what Christ asks you today. Do you believe him? He said he finished it at the cross of Calvary. Now, do you believe him? And when you believe that the debt has already been paid, God says you're saved. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not might be saved, not maybe be saved, or something like that. Thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he paid your debt in full? That's what it means to take Christ as your Savior. When you believe it, you take it for yourself. Here's my bill of sin, but Christ is stamped with his blood, paid. Do you believe that? That's what salvation is. That's accepting Christ as your Savior, recognizing the work is complete. But can I tell you about this city of refuge? Though the way was paved well, and it was very well maintained, can I just tell you that the way to God's heaven is not something that's going to remain there well paved and nice and ready to go forever. There's going to come a day when the door of opportunity is going to be shut and access to the city of refuge is now going to be denied. And all guilty parties will remain outside without access. And that's after Christ comes. That's a solemn thought. That's a solemn thought. People who could have been saved but were left on the outside of a shut, sealed door, and it's God who shut it. That means there's no way you could get through it. If God shuts it, you can't open it. That's a solemn thought. That if Christ came today and you're not saved, you'd still be sitting here in these seats. Consider where you'll spend eternity. Consider if you're really saved. Consider these thoughts because these are real thoughts. And would today you turn your attention to Christ and to be able to say like the hymn writer, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There's a city of refuge in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you need to trust him as your personal Savior today. You could do it in the seat you're sitting in. You could be saved today before you leave this room. Just place faith in what he has done for you. Can I just leave one last thought for you? When he hung on that cross, he had nails in his hands and feet. He was bleeding. His body was torn. He knew you by name. And he knew that today you'd be sitting in this meeting. And he knew you'd be thinking about your soul. And he knew that the price needed to be paid. He didn't just pay for a future generation that he wouldn't know. He knew who you were before you were ever born. And 10,000 angels could have never taken him off that cross. For you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the refuge that we find in thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that he has paid that debt that we could not pay, and he's paid it in full. We think, Lord, of these very simple thoughts that we have been able to consider today about the city of refuge. We realize that in our sin, we don't deserve to go to heaven, and if we were to land in hell, that's exactly what we deserve. But we also realize by faith that Christ has paid our debt in full, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Lord, we just would pray that if there be anybody here today who would like to know their sins completely forgiven, understanding that sin doesn't have to dominate their life, nor does it have to decide their eternity, that there's a refuge found in the person of thy Son, we pray that thou wilt show them the truth of being saved and what it is to accept Christ as Savior and place simple faith that the debt has been paid for them. We put all this in thy hands, in thy Son's precious name. Amen.